Hey, everybody. Thanks for taking the time to listen to this podcast from Forest City North Church. We're a church in London, Ontario. And our hope is that this message that you're listening to will have an impact on your life. I encourage you to grab a coffee, make yourself a tea, sit back, and enjoy this message. So a few years ago, my wife got home from being out for coffee with a few of her girlfriends. And this is something that she had does quite often. She's got some girlfriends she goes and hangs out with and has coffee. And she got home this time, and something was a little bit different. She came through the door, and she had a little bit more energy, a little bit more excitement. And I'm like, okay, like, I know you have a good time with your girlfriends out for coffee, but what is up? And so she dove in, and she started sharing with me, not the details, but the energy and the excitement around the conversation and the depth of the conversation and the flow of the conversation. She was just going on and on and on. And at one point, I thought maybe they slipped something else in the drink, but they didn't. It was just coffee. And then she started talking about the experience of God in the midst of the conversation. And I'm like, this is a coffee shop. Like, what is happening here? And then she said something to me. She said, Ron, you know what? She said, I think we just had church at the coffee shop. And as she said that, I realized how true that is. Like, it was like one of these truth bombs. It was like, yes, I believe that you just had church in the coffee shop. Now listen, I know it's not our traditional way of thinking church. Like, we're like, where was the offering basket? I didn't see it. You know, where was the extended singing? Where was the prayer? Where was the teaching and preaching? It didn't happen. But see, there was something that she was describing in the midst of that experience of the coffee shop was this. She was talking about the one another factor. She was talking about an aspect of the church that's described as the one another factor. See, when you begin to look at the writings of the early church, when you begin to look at some of the letters this guy wrote named Paul and others who captured the early church some 2,000 years ago, you begin to see this one another thing emerging out of the pages of the Bible. As a matter of fact, the one another statement's used roughly 60 times. It depends on what commentary you use and what study source. Some say as much as 100 times. But there's this phrase, one another, that emerges in the midst of the writings because there's a challenge to the people of God, to the followers of Jesus, that they are to one another, one another. It's a phrase, actually, that Andy Stanley, a pastor in Atlanta, he's an author, writer, and he writes all these books and stuff, and he has this phrase where he says, the primary activity of the church is one anothering one another. And I thought, wow, that's such a great phrase. Now, just so you know, that this idea of the one anothering, even back in the context of the early church some 2,000 years ago, wasn't easy. It was actually very complicated. It was very difficult. It was chaotic. There was this, you know, social divide. There was religious division. But yet in the midst of all this, this new assembly of people was emerging called the followers of Jesus. And they were beginning to assemble and gather. And there's these expressions of which would eventually become called the church were beginning to sprout up. And they were beginning to learn the one another thing. So, for example, like, if you were to walk into one of these gatherings, if it was maybe on the shore of a river, or maybe in the back room of a shop, or maybe in the living room of someone's home, if you were to walk in, you would see very clearly that there was something happening here, that there was the one another taking shape. Because there would be slaves sitting beside Roman citizens, and the only way you would know the difference is because of the clothing, but yet they were sitting together. Kids would be running around in the midst of everything, in the midst of the chaos. Kids who were normally shuffled to the side were welcomed and invited into the experience of the gatherings. The person that you would typically avoid, who owned that shop at the other side of the tracks you avoided, would actually get up from the other side of the room and make their way over and embrace you and say, hey, good to see you here. And they probably had a red shirt and a lanyard on. That was supposed to be way funnier than what it was. Are you with me? You know, they would get up and they would go move to you, and they actually, in the context, just so they would actually embrace and kiss each other. You should be thankful we just shake hands, right? Some of you are like, can we bring that back? And you would have moments where you would see the rich holding the hands of the poor, and they were praying together. an elder would be sitting reading out of a script that was the scriptures, and people would be leaning in together, experiencing one another. Yes, confusion. Yes, there would be chaos. Yes, there was division and difficulty and struggle, but there was something drawing them together in the experience of this. See, the one-anothering, one another, is a critical aspect of the church. It's a critical truth for every single one of us, and here's why. Because when we begin to step into the one-anothering, one another, you know what happens is your faith is unlocked. Your faith becomes more vibrant. Your faith becomes more alive. And in the midst of the one-anothering, one another, what begins to happen is you discover more of who God has created you to be. See, there's a notion and there's this idea that some people have is that you can actually do faith in isolation, but the truth is that that's a lie. You can't do faith in isolation. And when you begin to listen to that lie and it becomes your truth, then that truth begins to define how you live out your faith, and that faith becomes dormant and you don't experience the vibrancy of it and the fullness of it. See, there's some of us that are listening to me right now and maybe watching on Facebook Live or maybe listening to this later in the week. And you're thinking, I don't need anybody. I can just get through life on my own. I mean, you could do that if you want. You feel free. But you're going to miss out. You're going to miss out on the beautiful wonder of what it means to be in community, to be in relationships. Well, even saying this, I see little bubbles popping up above your heads. Not really, but you know what I mean. Because some of you are thinking right now, sounds too risky. Right? Let's face it. When you start one-anothering one another, that means you've got to be what? Transparent. That means you've got to risk. That means you've got to take moments where you're going to actually let your arms back a little bit, let people just in a little bit closer, and then they're pushed back out a little bit more, then pull back in, and you realize that this could be harder than what I anticipate. What if I get hurt? And what if I get damaged again? Or all these what-ifs begin to interfere with us. And so we begin to struggle. It's like this unbelievable tension inside of us. Is it worth it? Should I go for it? Now, others of you, the little bubble is this. I've heard these talks 100 times. There's some of you that have probably heard the one another talks like maybe even 1,000 times because you grew up in church and it's been part of your pattern. And here's what I want us to do together. I want us to all just rest into these next 4 weeks. Like, just allow ourselves to really embrace what the conversation looks like for you. Because there's this element of what happens when we gather together like this and we sing and we do what we do and we pray and we listen to a message, that we have these encounters where God actually takes by his Spirit. He takes these things and he unfolds them for us and he plants them right into our lives, right where we are. Because there's some of us here, I know, that you're early in your exploring stage of faith and you're just not even sure if there God exists, but yet you can still find a way to lean into this next few weeks. And so what we're going to do is we're going to talk about loving one another, we're going to talk about encouraging one another, we're going to talk about confessing to one another, and we're actually going to talk today about serving one another. So that's where I want to go for the rest of our time today, is I want to talk about serving one another and what that looks like for us as a community. So the first thought that came to my mind as I was putting these thoughts together earlier this week, I thought about a writing from this guy named Paul. We use his writings quite a bit that are captured in the Bible for us, and because he's always trying to help the church get better and understand what the church is all about and back in the context of the day. So let me give you one verse, and then we're going to bounce around and then look at Jesus because we're in church, so we got to look at Jesus. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13 says this, "For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters. But don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love." Now, love is emerging in this verse, but we're not going to talk about that because we're going to end our series with love. But what I love about what Paul's doing here is he's trying to help us understand some truths about the word freedom. The word freedom is something that emerges out of his writings quite often, and it's a theme that you see developing over time, is this idea of freedom, The Christian faith is about this idea of freedom. And actually, earlier up in this section in verse 1, he says, so Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up in slavery of law, of the law. So the freedom that Paul is writing about here is the freedom that Jesus offers to us. See, there's a freedom aspect of what Jesus did for us on the cross. So we have this, the Easter's coming up in a few weeks, right? And so this idea of what Jesus did for us on the cross, he took our sin upon himself, that he was buried and that he rose again so that we might have freedom from sin. But Paul is actually writing here also to this idea that there is freedom to the listener that was reading this in their context, was that there is freedom for what is referred to as the law, which is the old covenant. It's the old dynamic of the relationship that people had with God. You can see that emerging in the Old Testament. And he's saying here, listen, there's an element of this newness that is emerging, that we find this newfound freedom. Now, people were trying to deceive each other in the context of these gatherings where they were trying to get them to go back to what they were familiar with, go back to what was easy, go back to the law, go back to the rules, go back to the obligations, go back to the mandatory patterns of life. And he's saying, no. And he even talks about, if you want to look at it later, it talks about circumcision. And then it's just like, he's like, no, don't let anyone deceive you of that, because there's a newfound freedom that's available to you in Jesus. And then verse 13 again says what? That there is freedom to do what? To serve one another. Paul could have wrote anything here. He could have said, you have freedom in Jesus to pray together, to love each other more deeply. He could have said, you could sing together. You could do all these other things, but he says, you are free to serve. That there's this element of understanding what it means to be in one another. And the word serve, are you ready for this, is the word slave in the original. Whoa. Like that is scary when you think about it. Because earlier he actually says that you're a slave to the law, which is the bondage side of things, which is the restrictive side of things. Here he's actually talking about you are now free in your relationship with Jesus to be a slave to others. See, we said earlier in our conversation is that we need one another. Your faith cannot grow in isolation. There is a connectedness. See, the law was very much a, what's the right thing? This is what? This is horizontal. Vertical. Horizon? Vertical. Yeah. I feel like I just crossed myself. Anyway. This is what? Vertical. I know where John 3:16 is in the Bible, but this part here is... The law was very much a vertical thing, right? The newfound faith is now horizontal. It's very much tied up in the dynamic of the relationship with one another. If you want to know what it means to grow in your faith, it means that you are to actually connect with others and serve one another, be slaves to one another. We don't like that. I know I don't. It rubs me the wrong way. It makes me super, super uncomfortable because I want my freedom. I don't want to be bound to you. I like my faith to be personal and private. But yet, Paul's saying to them, listen, there's a new dynamic to faith. It's not out of obligation. It's not out of law. It's out of freedom. I mean, this is such a powerful insight, powerful truth that begins to show us how we are to one another. And so that means that there are times when we're willing to place the needs of others before our own, where we elevate others above ourselves, where we step back to let others step forward, where we sacrifice for the well-being of others, where we give with no expectation in return. This is what Jesus did. This is how Jesus taught. This is how Jesus lived. There's this moment, actually, where Jesus has these followers, these disciples. There's a core group of them, and they would travel together and do the, you know, traveling thing, and they would, you know, spend a lot of time together. And this one occasion is really an interesting moment where two of the disciples pull Jesus aside and have a private conversation with him. And they have this private conversation with him, and they say, Jesus, you know, when you are on your glorious throne, when you finally establish your kingdom and the fullness of it, we would love to sit on the left and on the right of you. I mean, that's bold. Like, that's a courageous thing to do. And so they go and they make this request. And if you read it for yourself later, it's found in Mark chapter 10. The other 10 are upset with the two. I think they're upset because they didn't ask first. That these two kind of got in there and, you know, asked for those two positions of power and influence and greatness and fame, and they wanted to be in that moment. And so Jesus has to do what Jesus can only do. He actually pulls them together and he talks to them. Jesus is always trying to correct these poor guys. They're kind of still, they struggle sometimes. And so he pulls them together and he says this: "You know what the rulers in this world, they lord it over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first among you must be the slave of everyone else." He's doing the comparison thing here. There's this wonderful truth of, yeah, you know what? Our world is built around moving forward, stepping on people, flaunting it, abusing your power, on so on and so forth. But among you, amongst my kingdom, amongst God's economy, it's going to be different. It's going to be different. It's going to actually be about serving one another. He's not talking about setting aside the desire to be great or to have influence or have power. That's not what Jesus is saying. He's saying, don't pursue that. But what he's saying in the midst of it, if you want to be great, you have to serve. If you want to have influence, you must be willing to serve. If you want to have impact, you must be willing to serve. If you want to be first, you must be willing to serve. See, I wonder if Jesus knows something here about the human nature and why he actually challenges his disciples to do this and challenges his followers to do this is because he understands that the human nature is driven often by self. Right? Selfishness. See, whenever self does the bidding, oftentimes it's misplaced. When self does the bidding, it often moves us towards pride and arrogance and the desire for popularity or for the power or for the position. And Jesus says, you know what? In order for you to understand what it truly means to live in God's economy, you must be willing to serve. And when you serve, what begins to happen is itself is chipped away and Jesus is revealed in you. Every time you serve, in what we've been talking about, self is chipped away and the person of Jesus is revealed within you. That self begins to step to the side. And this beautiful new image of you begins to emerge. No, it's still you there, but the beautiful relationship of Jesus begins to emerge. His values, his traits, his characteristics begin to define who you are. Begin to shape and mold how you think and how you see and how you live. See, the two, it wasn't necessarily wrong or bad for them to want greatness. But what in the midst of it, Jesus was trying to redefine what it would look like in the context of his community. That we're willing to lift others above ourselves. And it chips away this beautiful thing. Jesus did this. Jesus actually lived this. There's another moment in Jesus' life where he's got these same guys gathered around him, and it's just before he goes to the cross, and he's having a meal with them, and Jesus actually in this moment does something that I think would make even us feel comfortable, is that he actually takes off his outer robe, and he goes and he takes a servant's towel and wraps it around himself, and he gets a bowl and he fills it with water, and then he does the most unthinkable thing. Jesus begins to go around from disciple to disciple to disciple, and he washes their feet, their stinky smelling feet. I mean, think about this moment. I don't know what your thought is on God. I don't know what you believe about God. You might think that God's, you know, a bully. You might think that God, you know, what, I don't know what your thoughts are on God. But if you want to reshape your thinking of God, look at Jesus. Jesus got down on the ground in front of his disciples and washed their feet. There's this guy, Peter, and he's like uncomfortable with this moment, and he actually pushes back, and him and Jesus have this interaction with one another. But then Jesus says this to them. In John 13:15, "I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done." I mean, I want you to think about that for a moment. and I don't want this moment to kind of pass you by. That there is the King and Lord and Savior and Forgiver. His name is Jesus, and there was nothing beneath him in his serving. Ultimately, he would go to a cross and serve us with his life, right? That he would go to a cross and he would serve us with his very life. He would lay it down for us so that we may live. I was thinking about this as I was reflecting and meditating on this. I began to realize that when we begin to one another in serving, what begins to happen is that opens up for us a path to understand the presence of Jesus in our everyday. That it opens up for us the experience of the presence of Jesus as we move through life, as we live out our faith. That if we really truly want to know God better, if we want to truly understand the depth of our faith, beyond just the knowledge of our faith, but the experience of our faith, the vibrancy of our faith, we must be willing to step into that space and serve one another, to become a slave to one another. I think that that's something that should make us uncomfortable, should challenge us, should make us feel awkward, but yet something that should inspire us, that if the one we follow, the one we claim that we follow, is willing to wash the feet, then how much more should I be willing to wash someone's feet? You know, I wonder what it would be like for us to truly lean into serving one another. I wonder what it would look like in our marriages. If you're married here today, what would it look like in your marriage? Husbands, what would it look like if you served your wife? Put a towel over your arm. I know. Some of you guys are like, dude, when I get home, I'm tired. So what? Welcome to life. What would it look like to serve one another? Families, oh man, can you imagine what it would look like? Teenagers who are listening to my voice, what would it look like if you actually got off the couch and put your dishes in the dishwasher? Oh! I know your mom might keel over from a heart attack, but what would it look like? What would it look like in your workplace? Listen, I know how the temptation is. It's like, I want my way. No one's climbing over me. I'm getting my thing and screw them. But what would it look like if, I can't believe I just said that, by the way. Sorry. What would it look like in your workplace? You put a towel over your arm. Maybe it's possible that this is the thing that opens up a door of conversation about faith and life and church. And maybe it's the element of serving one another that can actually make the difference in someone's life who's struggling, who's going through pain and difficulty and loneliness. What would it look like if we just said, I want the towel over my arm because I'm going to make a difference in someone's life. I don't care what it makes me look like. I don't care if I don't get popular. I don't care if I get more likes or followers. What would it look like with a towel over our arms? Convinced that if we put a towel over our arms, many of us would bust through the front door of our homes and go, you're not going to believe what it was like today. Man, we experienced the one another and one anothering thing, and man, it was unbelievable. What would it look like? Right now, we've got a really cool thing emerging in our church. It's this food care thing that we're trying to initiate. And I was thinking about this morning, and I actually spoke to the person who's the team lead on this. Her name's Jackie, and I said, this morning, if I remember, I'm going to actually talk about the food care thing. And we've got a freezer at our office that we want to fill, because we believe that we can serve one another when people are going through struggles and difficulties, that we can provide just the simplicity of a meal for someone. And maybe it's someone in our community, within our church, that maybe is not connected to anything, not on a serving team, not in a home group, but they're just not connected to anything. We hear about it and we can put the bat signal in the sky and then things go into motion and food is provided. Or maybe someone in your community, in your neighborhood, or on your hockey team or soccer team, and they're going through some pains and some difficulties, and the bat signal goes up and we can get this food and we can give it to them and just serve them. Thank you. Listen, I checked the freezer before I came. There's one thing in it. I know Jackie wants to fill it. Would you be willing to, in the simplicity of serving like that, to step forward? I can't help but wonder what it would look like if we really got serious about one another and serve one another. I think it comes down to this simple prayer that's going to lead us to our song. Our closing song is this: Jesus, help me be like you. Listen to this. You know, I recognize that when we gather like this, that different parts and different things are going to hit you and impact your life. And I even love it sometimes when people get little nudges and pushes, and there's those moments where you go, I think I need to step forward. And I talked about the freezer thing, the food care team, and I realized I didn't give you a step, an action step, and because I don't want you showing up at the office this week kind of with food, and it's like, we've got some protocols, some things that we need to make sure are in place for health reasons and so on and so forth. So if that's something that you're interested in doing, I don't know where our team leader is in the room. I think she's still here. If she is, I'm going to ask her to join me at the front after the service. This is like on the fly, so I apologize to her now publicly. So if you want to join me, I don't know where she is. Oh, I see you. Thank you. Can you do that? Okay. You have to say yes now. It's like, how do you say no to that? Ron's called me to the front. If you're interested in that, I would love to see a long lineup of people down here. And I think when we serve, that Jesus is honored, because he started a movement that was so countercultural. It was so fresh and alive. And in so many ways, it was irresistible. And I wonder what it would look like for us again. And there's dynamics of this that I know we do really good, and others of it I know we need to learn and grow. But I know it takes a collective group of people who will say, yes, I will lean in. It scares the life out of me, but I'm going to do it. And I hope that's you today. Let me pray. Father, thank you so much for this morning and this closing song that was done for us in the moment we experienced just that prayer of Jesus to be like you. And we thank you for this beautiful example that you set before us, that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but yet you still washed people's feet. And what a transformational thought that is for us today. God, may you change us, transform us to be the people that you called us to be. We just thank you for the week ahead of us. We thank you for the many opportunities that we're going to have to interact with others on your behalf, to enter into conversation with people, to live out our lives of faith. God, we just thank you for that. Thanks for the financial update too, Father, today from Rob. And it's an important aspect of who we are and our mission. And God, I pray that you would continue to provide for us in a way that would be miraculous, that you would continue to nudge us forward with the power of generosity, and that we might experience more of your blessing as we honor you. So thank you for these things. In Jesus' name. Amen.